work through a section or a book of the Bible passage by passage. We do that for three main reasons. One, we want to hear from the whole counsel of God. We want to hear whatever the Word of God declares, even if it's hard or uncomfortable to hear. And Pastor Matt and I want to be accountable for preaching the whole Word of God. When we are moving through a book of the Bible, then you can easily tell whether or not we are skipping something difficult. Second, going passage by passage allows us, all of us, to better understand the context of each passage and how the inspired author writes, which are important aspects of understanding a passage. For instance, we've seen again and again that Mark tends to give a very concise presentation of what happened, and he tends to focus on action, on what happened. We also know that he starts his gospel with a focus on Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Those are just two examples of helpful insights we've learned as we've been moving through the Gospel of Mark. And there's a third reason we do this as well. And it is the reason I mentioned all of this before the reading of our text this morning. We trust that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to declare to us what we need to hear when we need to hear it. We've seen this happen in wonderful, clear ways over the years, and today we have another great example. This past week, as I was studying the next verses in Mark, I started to realize that the verses are about the ministry of Jesus. We learn what he was doing in ministry. We learn what he was experiencing in ministry. We learn how he built his ministry for the future. And I realized, wow, these verses are perfect for this month in which we are focusing on ministry here at First Church. There are some great truths and principles we can apply to our ministry. I didn't plan that. I didn't expect that. It is simply the case that God has put before us verses on ministry. And there are 2 weeks' worth of truths and principles. Today we're going to look at Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. And I'm calling today's sermon Healthy Ministry Part 1. And the next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. And guess what I will call that sermon? Now that will be Healthy Ministry Part 2. All right, very creative, but Healthy Ministry Part 2. God can use these verses to spur us on and give us wisdom as we do ministry for his glory. So please listen with excitement today. Come with excitement next week. The Word of God is living and active. It is always relevant. God is speaking to us. And because he is the one who is speaking, I ask you if you are able to stand for the reading of our passage. We stand before our King. We stand to hear him speak to us. As we read, start to consider what we learn about ministry from this passage. Mark chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed. From Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon, when the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would give us great insight into healthy ministry. Help us to learn from all that's been recorded for us so that we might serve you well, so that we might glorify your name and be a part of the advancement of your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, from these verses, I'm going to point out three aspects of healthy ministry. That will be the outline of my message. Three aspects of healthy ministry. And first, we see that healthy ministry is active. It is always taking thoughtful, purposeful steps to engage people, to witness to people, to go after people. It is active. That's how it's healthy. It is active. Think about what we've seen so far in the Gospel of Mark. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, we've seen him calling people to follow him. And we've seen him go to the synagogue to teach. And we've seen him ministering to people's needs, miraculously healing them. Jesus was caring for people. He was showing love to people. He was making traveling plans to go after people. Jesus considered where he needed to teach and who he needed to spend time with. His ministry was purposefully active. Now, as a result of the activity, we see that his ministry involved crowds of people. In verse 7, we read that a great crowd followed him. And that's something we need to think carefully about. Please note that I am not calling this point large ministry. I'm not saying that a healthy ministry is always a large crowded ministry. I'm not saying that is one of the aspects you should expect from a healthy ministry. Since Jesus' ministry was healthy and a crowd developed, it is obvious that a healthy ministry can result in a crowd. But crowd size is not a good way to judge the health of a ministry. I will tell you some realities about that. Here's one reality. There are crowded churches meeting today in which the gospel is never heard. There are very large churches meeting today and being watched on live stream and television that are not healthy ministries. For instance, the sanctuary of Joel Osteen's church can hold 16,000 people, and it has multiple services. His church is the size of a small city. There will be more people attending his church today than the number of people who live in Ripon. But Joel Osteen doesn't preach the gospel. It's not a healthy ministry. That's just one example. The crowds don't always equal healthy ministry. And think about this. Here's another reality about large crowds. Even when a ministry is healthy, the crowd is not necessarily part of the health. Here's what I mean. The ministry of Jesus was indeed healthy. It was perfect. On a scale of 1 to 10, the sermons of Jesus were a 10 plus every single time because he is the Word made flesh. But the crowd that came wasn't healthy. Of the crowd mentioned in our text, most of them probably did not end up with a saving relationship with Jesus. Most of the people were excited about Jesus and following Jesus for the wrong reason. Their eyes were not yet open to see who Jesus really is. The demons knew the identity of Jesus, and we'll get to that in a moment, but the people didn't know who Jesus is. Their eyes could not see the truth, and their ears were not yet able to hear the truth and grasp the truth that Jesus was proclaiming. The crowd wasn't healthy. There can, of course, be healthy crowds. Praise be to God. There are large, healthy crowds meeting in very healthy churches today. That is awesome. But the point here is that crowd size is not a good way to judge the health of a ministry. We should not look at a large church and think, well, that must be a healthy church. Or opposite, that must be an unhealthy church because it attracts so many people. And vice versa, we should not look at a small church and think, well, that's an unhealthy ministry because it's so small, they don't have a crowd. And we should also not look at a small church and think, well, that must really be a healthy church because it's not attracting a crowd. I have at times heard people say that. I've heard people say, you know, we're small because we're so healthy, we're so solid, we're small. Well, maybe not, maybe you're small for other reasons. It's not wise to judge the health of a church by crowd size. The ministry of Jesus at times attracted a great crowd. That's what we see in our passage. But at other times, the ministry of Jesus actually pushed the crowd away. Did you know that? Did you know that the ministry of Jesus actually once lost a crowd of people? A big crowd turned away from him. I always find that event helpful to think about. It's recorded in John 6. I'll read just a small portion. Jesus said to the crowd, "But there are some of you who did not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. That's a sad statement. From it, we learn that a healthy ministry sometimes loses a crowd. So again, you cannot judge the health of a ministry by the size of the crowd. The healthy aspect we're making note of is this: it is actively engaging people, witnessing to them, sharing the gospel with them. Whether the church is big or small, it should be doing that. It should be actively engaging people, going after them. I'll state the truth this way: healthy ministries don't circle the wagons around the saints and ignore those outside the circle. Healthy ministries look for ways to serve and engage people outside the walls of the church. Big or small, that is what healthy churches do. I want to read you a quote from a book called Loving Your Community by Stephen Viers. Quote, "Our church is a little over 50 years old, and we have always been conservative in doctrine and practice. In the past, we had a tradition of being fairly separated from our community. 20 years ago, we began asking if that particular approach was effective. More importantly, was it biblical? That began a journey of soul searching, Bible study, and openness to new ways of thinking about life and ministry. The controlling question has been, what would it look like if we worked harder and more creatively at loving our neighbors? Looking for answers to that question has produced an incredible number of opportunities to serve those in need." That's a healthy question. It is a question we need to constantly ask. It is a good question for all of our leaders and ministry teams to think about. And it's a good question for all the members of the church to think about. We should always be prayerfully active while remaining doctrinally pure. Standing on the Word of God, we should be considering what we can do to engage and serve people. And for that to work well, we all must volunteer time and energy. We all must be committed. We are asking you this month to consider what you are doing and how you can be personally involved. We are asking you to look at the current ministries our church is involved in and volunteer. At the end of this month, we're going to have tables out in the social hall with representatives from the various ministries. Please help us with ministries that both strengthen our church body and serve our community. We need all those ministries that strengthen and that serve. Concerning the community, ways to engage people and go after people in the community, there are several ministries you can become involved in. For instance, our evangelism committee is constantly thinking about ways to engage people outside of the church. Lately, they have been handing out Bibles at the farmers market in Ripon. It's not a difficult ministry, and you have the joy of meeting people in the community. It's a great way to actively serve. And it's a ministry that needs more volunteers. Sometimes we're not out there at the farmer's market because we don't have enough volunteers. And I'm just going to be blunt and say, you know, that's kind of sad for this size of church, isn't it? This is something to think about here. Also, on a regular basis, the evangelism team is seeking to rescue babies from abortions. They can always use volunteers for that ministry. Not too long ago, the evangelism team set up a prayer booth outside of a public library because that day the library was promoting and pushing something that's not true. So in order to engage people and witness about Christ to them, a prayer booth was set up. We didn't go out there and demonstrate and, you know, in that setting in which children would be attending the library with their parents, we didn't want to do that. We just went out there and offered prayer and discussion, and there will certainly be more opportunities like that in the future. And the evangelism team would greatly appreciate more volunteers for all such things. You can be part of that active ministry. And I will mention this morning the Modesto Pregnancy Center. That is a ministry that is constantly serving people who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy. I don't know what their current needs are for volunteers, but this is a great month to find out and help them. We love to support and help Modesto Pregnancy Center. There are members of our church who work there. And a third example of actively engaging people is Crossroads Prison Ministry. Now, that's a ministry you can do from a table or a desk in your own home, but it's reaching people outside the walls in prisons. You comment on a Bible lesson the inmate has completed, and you write him or her a letter. You engage with a person who will really appreciate your handwritten letter, and the person might end up being set free through the gospel even while remaining in prison. You can also join a mission team when we are offering them. Today we commissioned our team to Suriname. We'll have more mission trips in the future. That's an exciting way to engage people outside the walls of the church. And I will also mention our biblical counseling ministry and the fact that our church offers free biblical counseling to any person in the community who signs up for it. That's a wonderful way to serve the community. David Lee will give you excellent training. Talk to him about that ministry. What we see in our text is that healthy ministry is purposefully active. Healthy ministry thoughtfully engages people, goes after people, witnesses to people, and that takes lots of volunteers. It takes lots of time, it takes energy, it takes creativity, it takes commitment, it takes learning from trial and error. It's not always easy, but it's needed. It's our calling. So if you're not yet volunteering for a ministry, please start to do so. That's the theme of the month. A church that is enjoying its happy huddle while ignoring the world is an unhealthy church, no matter how great your doctrinal positions are. A crowd formed around Jesus because he was engaging the world. He was preaching the truth. He was teaching the truth. He was showing care for the people by healing them. At times, he was feeding them. We need to learn from Jesus. We need to constantly take creative steps to reach out to people in our community. That's one application from our passage. We also learn from this passage that healthy ministry is hospitable. It welcomes and seeks to thoughtfully serve all the people God connects us to. What we see in our text concerning this is that people were coming to Jesus from all over the place. Here's a map showing the various areas mentioned in our text. People from all over that map were traveling to Galilee, which is up there by that top body of water on the map. People were coming from all over to Galilee to see, hear, and be with Jesus. And when you stop and think about the fact that the only way news spread in those days was word of mouth, well, that's pretty amazing. People were talking about Jesus, and they were making decisions to travel to see him. And the different areas mentioned reveal that he attracted a very diverse crowd of people. Listen to what James R. Edwards says in his commentary. Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem were principally Jewish territories. Idumea and Transjordan were mixed Jewish-Gentile regions, and Tyre and Sidon were largely, if not entirely, Gentile regions. And in that crowd of both Jews and Gentiles, there were men and women, young and old. There were some who were educated. There were those who were uneducated. There were some who were wealthy. There were some who were poor. There were some who were healthy. There were some who were sick. There were some who were respected religious leaders. Others were known as sinners. There were some who feared God and some who were possessed with demons. The crowd was diverse. Jesus was hospitable to all the people. He didn't affirm them in their sins. We talked about that before. Jesus was constantly proclaiming the truth with boldness. But he was hospitable. And he wanted to serve all the people. And regarding his hospitality, we see a very interesting detail in this passage. It's a detail we might easily pass by without giving it much thought, but we shouldn't. Listen again to verses 9 and 10, quote, "And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him, for he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him." From those verses, we learn that hospitality requires thoughtful logistics. Hospitality requires thoughtful logistics. Think about it. People were desperate to touch Jesus to be healed. Therefore, the crowd could easily have developed into a dangerous situation. I just recently heard about that happening on August 4th in New York City. Maybe you heard about it in the news as well. An online influencer was giving away PlayStation consoles, and a crowd quickly developed, and it became a mess. It became a dangerous disturbance. People were taking down barriers and jumping on cars. Four people were taken to the hospital. That was just over a PlayStation. In our passage, we see people gathering around Jesus to be healed. And they passionately wanted to get to him, to touch him. Without healthy, thoughtful logistics, it could have become a mess. So Jesus came up with a means of crowd control for the sake of ministering to all the people. He came up with a great plan. He had disciples who owned boats. He told them, you know what, have a boat ready for me. He knew the water would provide an effective, natural barrier for crowd control. That way he could effectively minister to the whole crowd. Dear friends, that kind of thinking, that kind of hospitality is constantly needed in ministry. And currently, that's a detail we need to think about. Now, if you were present here last Sunday, you know that last Sunday our facility was very full. Last week was a special Sunday. We had professions of faith last week, and we had communion, and there were a lot of people here for those reasons. Next week, we're going to hear more professions, and we're going to have the joy of witnessing baptisms as well. And next week will be another great Sunday. I'm very much looking forward to it. But we could again have extra visitors next week. I hope we do. Please invite people to join us. We want that. And we want to welcome them with excellent hospitality. We want to welcome all the visitors in that way. We want people to celebrate with those who are professing their faith and being baptized. And I ask all of you who are members to be thoughtful about that. I'm going to give you some examples. I know that sitting by the aisle is highly desirable. If we were an airline, we could charge extra for those seats. I also know we like a lot of personal space. We all want first-class seats, don't we? Not the economy seats. But a very simple way we can be hospitable is by moving in and taking up the empty spaces in the middle of the pew when they're there. That will especially help our ushers who are trying to seat people. We also need to recognize that some of our members do need to sit by the aisle. We have some of our members with health concerns that make the aisle better for them. Our musicians need to quickly and easily make their way forward. Those who are helping with children's ministry, children's worship, they need to make their way easily out. Some of our elders and deacons need to easily access the aisle. If those things don't apply to you, please slide in and take up any space that's available in the middle of the pew. I encourage you to even come a little early and be the first to take up those middle spaces. That would be thoughtful hospitality, thoughtful logistics. Get in the habit of doing that every week because we never know when we might have a Sunday with a larger attendance. I ask you to also think about such things in the parking lot. If you're in good health and you find walking very easy, well then, please park in spots that are further away from the doors. That way there will be parking spaces for visitors and for those who find it harder to walk. And after the service, consider enjoying your cup of coffee and fellowship out on the patio under the shade of the trees. Sometimes that social hall gets pretty full. As I'm talking to you about all these things, you might wonder now, well, why don't you start having two services? That certainly is one way to handle such logistics. And we've discussed that in the past. There was a time before COVID we were discussing that. And in those discussions, we decided not to for two reasons. One, we really value being one church body. We don't want to end up being two congregations in one building. And two, it's really hard on musicians, nursery workers, and children's worship leaders to have two services. So having two services is not something you can quickly and easily jump to. It's not an easy thing. A matter of fact, a few years ago when we were discussing it, I heard from some other ministers that going to two services was one of the hardest changes they ever went through in ministry. It was one of the hardest things they ever did. So I'm not saying we'll never do that, but doing so would not be an easy change. Right now, I ask you to help us with the simple ways that I've mentioned. Keep coming. We want you all to physically be here, present in the sanctuary. Don't stay away. Live stream is great when you're out of town or when you have a sick child or when you're sick. But otherwise, come and help us with the simple steps we can take to welcome everyone. And during this ministry month, I ask you to consider volunteering to be an usher. As we already heard in this service, that's a wonderful service you can provide. Or serving coffee out in the social hall, or volunteering to run our screen or our sound system or our live stream. Those are needed services every Sunday that are part of our hospitality. Those services help people find a seat. Those services help people hear and see and follow along in the service. Right now, there are people in the back who are running the screen and the sound system and are live streaming, they're doing that to serve all of us. It's a very important job to fill, and we could use more volunteers. And by the way, they do have first-class seats back there. I'm telling you, they do. So if you want to get bumped up to first class free of charge, just volunteer to run the services back there. I don't think they get served hot meals back there. Maybe they're smiling, so maybe they do. I don't know. But very comfortable seats. And by the way, musicians and pastors also have really good seats. We welcome you to sit up here on the platform for those reasons. Eric would love to give you a stool beside himself. All you got to do is play an instrument or sing. So think about that. Anyway, hospitality, logistics, that's part of healthy ministry. And the third aspect of healthy ministry we see in our passage is that it's wisely guarded. It's wisely guarded. We learn that from verses 11 and 12, which say, whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. It's fascinating to read about the demons. There is much about angelic beings we do not know. The Bible doesn't say a lot about them. But here we see, as we've seen before, that the demons accurately proclaimed Jesus is the Son of God. I will mention again, as I did with an earlier passage, that the demons know who Jesus is because Jesus created them. And we should realize that in the beginning, they actually worshiped him. In the beginning, all angelic beings were in his presence. It's amazing to think about, but in the beginning, even Satan himself worshiped Jesus, the creator of all things. Extraordinary, isn't it? Satan and the demons are fallen angels, and they were created good, just like the rest of creation. They were created good, they were created righteous, and they fell. Satan and the demons he influenced rebelled against God. They turned against God. They became evil. But they still know well who Jesus is. In our passage, we hear them saying the truth about Jesus. And Jesus silenced them and kept them from proclaiming the truth of who he is because it's not wise to let your enemy promote you. When we get to some verses later in chapter 3, we will see just how wise Jesus was to prevent that from occurring, from them, from enemies promoting who he is. Satan and the demons are tricky, I believe they were proclaiming the truth about Jesus, not to help Jesus, but to set Jesus up to actually hurt him. In a few weeks, we will see verses that lead to that conclusion. We have a tricky enemy, and we have to be wisely on guard. That's the application. We have to wisely guard ministry. So how do we do that at First Church? What does that look like in our context? Well, since we are on this morning, worship ministry, since we're focusing on worship ministries this morning, I'm gonna give just a few examples concerning worship ministry. Eric has discussed with the elders that some songs have unhealthy associations. Now, the song itself might be okay. The song itself might have good words and a nice singable tune, but some songs end up funding ministries that are teaching things that are wrong. Or some songs might end up getting people interested in ministries that are teaching and practicing things that we believe are unscriptural. We have this tricky enemy, and music is powerful. There are some songs that are funding unhealthy ministry, promoting it. We try to be wisely careful about such things, and that's really hard to do. It's really hard to make those decisions sometimes. It's very confusing, hard to be consistent, and that's what we're seeking to do. I'm sure there have been or will be times we make decisions that are too guarded or not guarded enough, but we're trying to be wisely guarded. For those of you who are newer to First Church, I want to quickly explain that we greatly appreciate what we call blended worship. We like the Psalms, and we enjoy singing the Psalms. We want to keep using the Psalms. We also take delight in singing hymns that have been used for generations by God's people, hymns like "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" and "Amazing Grace" and so many others. And we also recognize that new songs are being written that are rich in good theological content, that have appropriate singable contemporary tunes. For instance, think about the song "In Christ Alone." That song was written in the year 2001. I was pastoring in Wisconsin when that song was a new contemporary song. Now it's a well-known, loved song in most places, used by many, many believers. We don't want to miss out on songs like that, which will be sung for generations of believers. But with new songs, there can be these associations we have to be mindful of, and even with some of the older hymns, there can be associations we have to be mindful of. We're trying to do that. That's just one example of wisely guarded ministry. We have a tricky enemy. We have to be watchful and careful about what we do. You can help us with that aspect of ministry by praying for our elders, our deacons, our staff members, that we might make wise decisions, and by being patient with us when we're seeking to figure all of that out. That is a way we can all apply the third point of our passage today. Just like Jesus, we must be active, we must be hospitable, we must wisely guard the ministry. I ask you to bow with me in prayer regarding all of that application. Father God Almighty, we're so thankful for your word that teaches us, thankful for what Jesus did long ago, and pray, Father, that you would help us to do what is pleasing to you. Help us to be involved, to be one body providing healthy ministry. Father, we pray that you would help us to be very active, purposefully, thoughtfully reaching out into our community and throughout the world. Help us to reach many people for Christ by your power, by your word and your grace. Help us, Father, to serve, to gladly give, even when it's difficult. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be thoughtful about our hospitality. Help us to think about logistics and details we need to consider to make everyone welcome and know that they are welcomed. Help us to be faithful in that way. And Father, we do ask that you would keep us wise in this world that can be so tricky. Help us to see what we need to do to guard this, your church. We want your name to be exalted and glorified. We want to make disciples. We want to advance your kingdom. We want to serve in your name. Help us to do so. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.